Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning.
Pleasure.
Donald and Kim were sort of will they or won't they? The talks were on, then they were off, and then they were on again. Is a success that they've just the fact we've seen them go through?
Well, that's a very good point. Yes, I think the fact that their talks are happening is a good thing, and actually I would actually score that as a win for Kim Jong-un, in the sense that Donald Trump spat the dummy and then unspat it and put it back in again. So the fact that they're there in Singapore is actually a win for Kim and North Korea. Having said that, the notion that they're going to get together on a one-on-one basis before they actually start to delegations talking to each other is actually probably a win for Donald Trump, because as the Donald said the other day, that he believes he can sum up any person within a minute of starting a conversation, whether they're on the level or not. And really, if Kim Jong-un is going to pass that test, he has to actually show his sincerity from the outset.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Trump is like this. Well, within 1 minute, I'm going to be able to tell if we're going to be able to get denuclearization out of North Korea, which is an unusual tactic, you would have to say, for any leader. I mean, these kind of talks really are a one-on-one debate between national leaders. Usually by the time the leaders meet, all the ins and outs of the deal have already been discussed by professional diplomats. What do you make of this approach when we're dealing with a nation like, or when America is dealing with a nation like North Korea, which has been a little bit unpredictable in the past?
Well, I think it comes down, Sean, to the fact that America is not dealing with North Korea as such. They're dealing with Kim Jong-un, an individual and an autocrat who sets the entire North Korean agenda, who's prepared to arrest family members and execute them and so on. Really, what it seems to me to be a trade-off is that if Kim comes to the party in relation to commitments to denuclearization, or more to the point, actually being willing to follow through and do it, what Donald Trump is saying, that we will make your life as a regime easier and therefore your security as a dictator assured in return for you helping to better secure world peace.
What do you think their biggest gains actually could be out of this talk? Kim Jong-un's biggest gains, obviously their economic gains, but what do you think he's in this one for?
Well, look, I think with all the run-up to this meeting, Kim Jong-un's coming across as a bit of a rock star, isn't he? I mean, he was out in Singapore last night seeing the sights and being mobbed and people wanting selfies and all sorts of things. And and watching him walk, there's some great footage of him walking across a bridge in Singapore, and you know, he's having a brisk walk, power walk, I suppose, but he had about 100 black-suited North Korean officials following him. So he's become a bit of a curiosity and more a sensation in his own right. But that's I think, perhaps the thing for him more than anything. The fact that he is meeting with the President of the United States, the greatest power in the world, on a one-to-one basis, so level pegging, is actually giving him and his regime a status that perhaps in many other ways they don't deserve.
Well, it's almost certainly a huge propaganda win for him. I mean, we saw most recently in the most recent Winter Olympics, there was a real focus on the North Korea propaganda machine. As you mentioned there, Kim Jong-un, this is a guy who's had family members executed with anti-aircraft guns. This is a guy who's allowed his country to starve while he feasts. You know, this is not a nice guy, and yet he's in the streets of Singapore being mobbed for selfies. This has got to be a hell of a propaganda win.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it is. He's already won before he started. On the other hand, Donald Trump has done what no American president has done since the Korean War, and seems to have a shot at brokering a final end to a war that ended, you know, technically almost 70 years ago, and bringing not only greater security to the Korean Peninsula, but to the world at large. But really, the proof in the pudding would ultimately be what comes out of it. And if it's just going to be a gab fest where empty promises are made on both sides and nothing actually happens, or more to the point, that North Korea doesn't follow through and give any undertakings it gives about denuclearization, but still takes whatever concessions or incentives that Donald Trump offers, then really I think it's going to be a waste of time. But as somebody once said, I think it was Winston Churchill, George Orr is better than World War. And at least they are talking at the highest level. And it may well be that Donald Trump, because of who he is and because he is a firm believer in what he calls the art of the deal, that he actually is prepared to really deal and negotiate in a way that informal diplomacy that other presidents of the US have not been able to do.
And just perhaps as a final point, I mean, we've seen Donald Trump obviously come off the G7 summit with some fairly unusual behaviour. He was signing this communique that he ended up saying, well, I didn't want to sign it in the first place because there's this kind of backdoor diplomacy going on with Canada and the like. And we also saw, rather infamously, his administration pulling out of the Iran deal, which was obviously made under the Obama administration. But, you know, this was, again, another denuclearization deal that was meant to help the country economically. And it seemed like Iran was, for the large part, obeying the letter of the law when it came to the agreement, at least when it came to nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Why would North Korea go ahead and trust him and say, okay, we'll give up our nuclear weapons in exchange for this, and then they can really feel they can fully trust this administration to follow through on their promises, given how unpredictable Trump has been?
Well, I think the issue is if North Korean experts are right, that North Korea itself and the regime are tottering, that they're barely keeping it together, that infrastructure is falling to bits, people are living at subsistence at subsistence level, and that economically their trade is, well, frankly, between China and themselves, and that's about it, really, with a few little add-ons. Apparently, Singapore is one of their next biggest trading partners, and it has next to nothing. So in that sense, economically and probably politically, it's important that North Korea actually is prepared to deal, to dialogue in order to preserve the regime. But frankly, it's been isolated for so long, its economy has been isolated for so long, that Kim has realised, I suspect, that he has to do what is necessary in terms of coming out of that isolation and being prepared to engage and realising that brinkmanship in terms of playing the little rocket man game has not washed with Donald Trump and the American administration, and that the game of bluff he's been playing over the last 12, 18 months with his nuclear missile test has not washed. So, in a sense, they're coming to this, I hope, in good faith. I think we all hope that they come in good faith and that something comes out of it in good faith. And even if they just agree to keep talking, I think that is a win for the world, if not for one party of the talks or the other.
Well, Terry, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a chat with us about this one this morning.
Oh, pleasure, Sean. Thank you.